Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Pisgah.
That would be a little weird.
Not the Pisgah by Jackson, though.
Not the Pisgah Dragons.
The Pisgah between Biggersville and Boonesville.
Isn't that crazy how there are... We've talked about this so many times. Like
just
Boca
north of Chitta Jumper Town.
And places like that with the same name. Why did that happen?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
So this place is North Mississippi?
Yes. This Pisgah is in... Does it say it's in... hold on now. It says this is in Rankin County, but that's not Rankin County.
You picked the more well-known Pisgah.
Well, I mean, I just clicked on it on the map here. It's just north of Jumper Town. Are there two Pisgah Mississippis?
Okay, then you picked the regular Pisgah then. There's not two. You lied to me. You wanted to make a fool of me on this show.
There's a Pisgah. There's a Pisgah in Prentiss County. There is.
Okay.
So, there's two Pisgahs. Yes, the Dragons. I played against the Dragons. I've played at their stadium. My cousin Chris nearly drowned there.
It's a nice little. It's a nice school. I've driven by it.
Yeah, nothing to say. I got nearly drowned on a football field. You don't want to hear that story?
Somebody like pushed you down in the mud?
No, it wasn't me. It was my cousin Chris. We were playing them, and it was it was pouring rain. I mean, and that field. Let's just say they didn't have the same irrigation system that Dee Noble has, and.
I've been on many a field.
Chris
like
recovered
that.
A fumble and was on the bottom of the pile, and he said the water just filled up his helmet. He was like, for a second there, he's like, "Oh God, I'm gonna die."
I used to have severe anxiety over getting at the bottom of the
dog pile.
Especially like a football practice when they're like dog pile. Like I would scream. I had that kind of anxiety. But
I don't know.
Anyways.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. My guy, Cam Baker, he knows how to get your business going. He knows how to get your message out. He's 30 years of experience with Pip Printing and Signs, doing that for businesses across the state. Your business could be next, so you need to give Cam a call. And again, I always point this out, and it always strikes me as amazing when I say it, but this is the number I'm going to give you is his phone number, not the office number, not a switchboard, not a 1-800 number that you get. No, his number. That's how dedicated he is to customer service and how much he wants to be able to take care of you. So let's do that. Let's talk to Cam Baker and get your business going in the right direction with Pip Printing and Signs. And, of course, if you're a Mississippi State fan, you can make your business a Bulldog Initiative business. With Pimp Printing and Signs. 601-499-5216. Ask for Cam Baker. Tell him that you heard about this on Thunder and Lightning. He'll take care of the rest. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. And you are looking for it. I'm going to be tweeting out a lot of merchandise from College Corner in the coming days. Because we've been talking about this interlocking thing. The easiest way that you can help, if you want to keep the interlocking and make it the primary logo at Mississippi State, is to buy interlocking merchandise. So let's tweet it out. They got a lot of great stuff for you to check out there at College Corner. And if you haven't already, they have a tremendous selection. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you are getting lunch in Starkville, if you're craving a blue plate, there just isn't a better one. And the one you can get at Restaurant Tyler. Fried chicken, fried catfish, pork chops, hamburger steak, all the southern favorites, great vegetables, cornbread, and a great price, too. This isn't going to break the bank. This is a great southern lunch that you can enjoy each and every day. And the great thing is about this is you can go back to Restaurant Tyler a couple times a week and just have something different. You don't have to lock in. Not saying that I don't lock in. I have locked in. I pretty much get the same thing every time. But that's me. You can do you. Enjoy a great meal every single time out at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you how, and they can manage your money for you. You did the hard work. You got the money to the bank. Let Priority One Bank take it from there. They can show you how to. They want to invest, how they can manage your money and build your finances for years and years to come. It's a lot more than just checking and savings accounts at Priority One Bank. It's not just a small-town bank. It's a big-time financial institution, but they do have that small-town service that we all crave. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority.
The women's rugby team just defeated Australia, who is pretty darn good at rugby,
yeah,
for the gold medal.
We've had a good run. You know, we beat the Pakistanis in cricket the other day.
Yes.
And now, you know, basically.
How embarrassing.
America's just the best.
This is like our 50th sport.
Yeah. But on the other hand, other side of that, Japan beat us in football.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. But, you know, what is the level of athlete from America that's on those?
What I would say to that question is this. I should be able to send Brandon High School over there and win every game.
Over Japan?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. A really good high school team should be able to beat the rest of the world.
I don't know, man. Those are grown men, probably.
Okay, then I could probably send... I should be able to send Delta State.
Maybe, but I don't know who these people
are. It doesn't matter.
Playing.
It doesn't matter to me.
It could be sport. You. You could be on the offensive line for us. And if that's the case, then I can imagine...
I got three snaps that I'll give you. I promise you, yeah, ain't nobody
going to
touch. The
problem is there's 100 snaps that have to...
Well, you got to pick the ones you really need. Like, all right, hey, Dad, this was a big one. Get out
Hey,
there.
Hey, Dad can get us this first down.
Yeah, if okay? You see me come on the field, you know it's a big play.
And the women's gymnastics team also just won gold, which...
Awesome.
No surprise.
No surprise there. All right, it's time for the rumblings. Let's just jump right into them. Colton Watson is our first
question.
Maybe
we can be positive today. The last 2 days have been a little jolting.
Yeah, his first question is, I think the university is doing a great job in marketing and in releasing information. Your thoughts?
Is that what he said?
No. I just wanted to see what you would do.
I'm just waiting for Colton to say, just say something.
Mm. His first question is about the Olympics. List the first three Summer Olympic sports that you would be the most competitive in this current lifetime. And then list three you would most like to compete in, regardless of your current ability. You can become Olympic level at the sport when you choose it. So,
the three that you would be most competitive in... In your lifetime,
mm-hmm.
And then three that you want to be competitive in.
That if I could, you know, snap my fingers and be an elite athlete, what would I want to do?
Okay. In the Olympics.
In the Olympics. So the
most I would competitive want to be on Team USA basketball.
I was just going to say basketball, just because I know how to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's like
give you six fouls.
I think that's the most high profile. Like Olympic team.
Oh, I'm talking about in the terms that I would be the most competitive with right now.
Oh, I was just saying because like, I know how to play. If I could,
I mean, I can be a spot up shooter. I'm not gonna make a lot, but I could do that.
That would just be my.
I would also like to be able, yeah, to be an NBA superstar would be fantastic.
Like, could I be on a team that's compared to your dream team?
I feel like when you are the 100 meter champion, when you have the title of fastest man alive, that's really cool. I would like to be like Usain Bolt.
Yeah, yeah, like. You would want to be the most notable runner, mm-hmm. Not just part of the team. Like
right. I want to be the Carl Lewis, the Michael
Johnson.
Like,
I don't think people remember, like, the guy that's, like, the third leg or whatever.
No, I don't want to be that guy.
On the 4x400 or whatever.
And then I would like to be, like, a Kurt. And I think this would be one I could be competitive in.
Yeah, curling?
Kurt Angle. I would be, like, a wrestler.
I thought you said curling.
Curling? I would love to curl. I got a friend that curls.
Really?
Yeah. Our senior officiating correspondent, Bill Reno, is a...
is he really?
Is a curler, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, what I would like to do, basketball, 100-meter dash, wrestling, most competitive basketball, wrestling, and shot put. I threw the shot put in high school. I wasn't very good at it, but I mean, I know how to do it.
I think the realistic answer is we would not be the most competitive in anything.
No, it's not that we would be the most competitive. It's that what you're the most competitive in. It's different. It's like, I'm not saying I would be. I would finish dead. I'm saying I would finish.
What would be the most competitive?
Right. I would finish dead last by a large margin.
Oh, I'm just making it more realistic and saying we wouldn't be able to compete.
We wouldn't be competitive. Competitive is a strong word.
That's right.
Right. So,
hey, did you ever find that little piece that I was messing with the other day?
No, but I didn't look for it either.
Okay. So I guess you don't need it.
No.
I was going to put it back. But.
No, you're good.
All right.
What should be an Olympic sport but isn't?
Baseball.
Baseball is not an Olympic sport. Mm-hmm. That's an easy answer, yeah.
But the problem with baseball is the timing.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to pull?
Right.
You're going to have to, maybe go to college.
You could do college baseball.
Could you do the Team USA?
That's what they used to do. Will Clark was on Team USA.
Is that who played in the...
That's college kids.
I feel like it's so long ago, I don't
84
remember.
Team USA... Yeah, the two first basemen were Will Clark and Mark McGuire.
See, I think that you could get away with that. I think you could be competitive.
If you're going to tell me you're going to be a team of college all-stars, I'll be honest with you. If I'm an MLB team, I would say, hey, if like the rookies, go play. You'll get as much development there as you will with us.
Or, who's the top prospects in your farm system?
Like, would Connor Griffin be a good choice to go play for Team USA? Would Dakota Jordan?
Yeah.
I mean, the Giants would be like, yeah, go play.
I think that would be the best
thing. Answer.
And you could compete with teams around the country or teams around the world like that.
What relatively mundane activity feels like an Olympic sport? I feel like we should get a gold medal for just listening to our wives. Just, are you done talking? How long was that? 9 minutes, 13 seconds, gold medal! Yes, that's what we should have.
Well, then, she's going to need, a bevy of gold medals putting up with you.
I guess you're right. Jason Luckett doesn't have a question. He just has a quick story for us.
Okay.
I recently visited the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. When I turned the corner and made it to the AC/DC exhibit, I just sang out, "Pork Rind Nachos!" And my wife just looked at me and was like, "What was that?" I just laughed. Thanks for the impact y'all have had on my life. That's good stuff.
We're making your wife annoyed. That's our impact.
We have been...
We are so good at annoying our wives.
We've taken it to other people's wives.
But I will tell you, I believe we are growing on the women listeners out there.
We've got some out there.
I think there's a bunch that are starting to say, because the first thing I say is, does it annoy you that your husband listens to this podcast?
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone from yes... to actually, I like to listen some too, so we're getting there.
There we go. Colby Rushing. There's a lot of talk about linebacker Zachary Tillman last fall, and he got some playing time in 2023. Haven't heard much about him since. Have y'all heard anything since the new coaching staff came in and how he did this spring? Coleman Hutzler mentioned him by name today when we talked to him up there. But I mean, he's a guy he's not lining up to be a starter this year, but I think. If State does a better job of rotating guys, you'll see a good bit of him this season.
And yeah, hopefully they do. Hopefully that's something that this staff does a little bit better. I thought the last staff was a really good defensive staff, but one of the things that I could nitpick is that they just didn't get these guys really prepared.
Right.
As far as – and what I mean by that is getting them playing time.
Right.
I think that could have been a little more –
this was
going to
be a rebuilding year. Regardless if Leach had still been alive or Arnett had been successful, and you would have been going into it with this same situation where with guys who had not played.
Yeah. So. And I mean, even, we're talking about John Lewis, he's one of the leaders of the defense or whatever, he should have had more playing time, I feel like.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see more. But we saw a good bit of Zachary Tillman as the year went on, I believe. Last year he started playing a little more, so, we'll see what happens with him. But the last coaching staff was really high on him.
Willie Dizzle asks us, with the news of a son on the way, congratulations.
Yeah.
It got me thinking, should I raise him to be a State fan or a fan of a blue blood? I don't know if I want him going through life constantly building so much character. So I have a story. So a friend of mine, I have a friend who's wealthy. His name is on the stadium at a couple places, right? And
Davis Wade, huh?
Yeah, no. Well, but his name is on the stadium. And
Johnny Vault.
This stadium. You son of a! So
his name is on this stadium?
In a couple places, yeah.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, you know who he is.
Yep.
So he has a young. So the mom and dad, or that's their name, and then they have the one brother who's a friend who is my close friend.
Right.
And then he has a younger brother. So the older brother was going to school during the Croom era. And I would sit in the student section with them because I just felt like I could sit there and cuss as loud as I wanted. Nobody said anything. Mm-hmm. And the little brother, who was like a sophomore junior in high school at the time, would come sit with us as well. And I would berate that kid. I'd be like, look, your family is wealthy. You have all the opportunities in the world. Do not come to school here. Go, you know, this is 2006, 2007. I'm like, go to USC, go to Texas, go somewhere and become a fan. Do not subject your entire life to this. Don't do it. It's too late for me, kid. But there's still time for you.
So, folks, if you're looking for more money out of the NIL situation, blame Brian for running off
a
wealthy member of this family.
No, no. He went to school here.
Thank God he didn't listen to you.
I ran into him like his freshman year, and I was like, I told you! He's like, I know, but...
Here's what I would say about it. Is, you know, we didn't get to choose this, mm-hmm. so we're stuck in it now. So as Mississippi State people, you and I would encourage your son to let's help change the narrative at Mississippi State. Yeah. Help make things better.
Get him going now.
Don't just give up hope.
Yeah. It is too late for me, son. Nathan Kelly.
Brian and I have dug our heels in now. So now if we're gonna be here, if we're gonna have to endure this for the rest of our lives, we might as well try to do what we can to make it better.
Mm-hmm. Nathan Kelly, rank these gourmet snacks: Vienna sausages, beanie weenies, potted meat, and spam. Ugh. I'll go hungry before I eat any one of those.
So, Nathan, who is one of my closest friends, I believe he was being sarcastic. I pray he was being sarcastic the other day when he told our group of friends that Vienna sausages were better than a steak dinner.
Mm. What?
I will say, when I was a kid, I'm going fishing, I got a can of Vienna sausages, pop that top, get a couple of saltine crackers, and put the sausages on the cracker.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice little snack. That's easily number one for me. And then the others, I don't want to touch. I'm good on the rest. If I'm in a pinch, and like there's a can of the sausages, and, you know, if, like what my granddad was carrying around or something, we're out fishing, I'm hungry, I would eat it. And I've had many a Vienna sausage. But I'm not going out of my way to eat these snacks.
I'm reading on three right this second. I wish Brian and Robbie ran our athletic department. Buddy! I'm the wrong guy to run an athletic department. I would.
You don't want us to do that.
I have too quick a hair trigger on that. I'd be like, "What are you doing, you idiot? You're fired."
But that, I think you and I could. I think I could kind of bring you down a little bit, and then when I get hyped up, you could bring me down a little bit.
I have a plan. We both need to be brought down a little bit. So we would run things as a military tribunal, and Joel is the other guy. Joel would keep us level.
We would definitely have to have, you know,
the old guy set this up as a paramilitary organization.
That we would definitely have to have some like people around us to keep us, you know, locked in on the things that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, obviously we would put a lot of emphasis on logos, mm-hmm. and looking cool on the field and having a good atmosphere and things like that. So. There's certain things that I feel like we have good ideas on, and then there's certain things that we probably don't.
Yeah.
So maybe not. Maybe we're not adept at running an athletic department.
I don't plan to be.
You don't want us to.
Yeah. Jimmy Evans asks, what is the worst finisher in the history of wrestling? I say either the Hogan leg drop or Ronnie Garvin's fist of stone. How are you going to go against rugged Ronnie Garvin?
Finger poker.
Well, that doesn't count. That was a one-time thing. What about the heart punch? That's a terrible finisher.
The heart punch?
The heart punch.
That, who did that?
Sean Stasiak.
Oh.
Yeah, he would like hit you right there in the chest, like where your heart is.
Literally hit you in the heart.
It was a heart punch, yeah.
I thought this was something from Stu Hart or something.
No.
What's another bad one? The leg drops up there.
I mean, Dusty Rhodes' finisher was an elbow.
Yeah.
You know who has a bad finisher now?
The bionic elbow.
Is Chris Jericho, the Judas effect?
Yeah.
It's a terrible finisher. Like, well, that move happens in every match to get hit with a back elbow.
That's the thing, is we've made moves
mm-hmm.
that are supposed to be finishing moves, we've made them more common.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels' Sweet Chin Music was a great finisher. Now everybody does it.
Yeah.
You know, they'll kick somebody five times in a row and they're still standing up teetering.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just that's the problem with it, is it's so like subjective.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to believe, and that's what people have a problem with wrestling in general. We're supposed to believe that this is something that's going to knock someone out
mm-hmm.
unconscious in this moment, but not in this
the
moment.
Next moment. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
What's what is the best finisher in history?
What was her name? Ember Moon.
Amber Moon.
It's now she's Athena.
Yeah.
The stunner off the top rope.
It's pretty cool.
Incredible. I don't know how she does it. That's a really good finisher.
The stunner is a great one.
The stunner is just so good.
Iconic.
Yeah. The figure four leg lock. I just love it.
We used to put each other in the
figure
four leg lock.
If you do it wrong. Yeah.
Like, well, the thing is, like, your shin.
Yeah, your shin is pushed over somebody else's yes. leg. It can hurt, yeah. F5 is a great one.
I've never understood the reversal of the figure four. Like, you
it
turn
reverses
over.
The points of pressure, Robbie.
Like, you turn over, and the other person's like, no!
I love a good figure four battle of trying to get him over, and, like, you know, they're doing this number yeah. right there. I love it. It makes me laugh every time.
A little unrelated, but somehow my algorithm has found, like, the overselling, the funny, like, things of the past where, like, Shawn Michaels would be overselling. Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever seen that video of him versus Hulk Hogan?
It's incredible.
Hulk Hogan's, like, kicking him in the
stomach.
He's,
like,
and he's just
leaping
flying.
Up into the air, yeah.
And so yesterday I saw one where Triple H was on Raw fighting in a tag team match.
Oh, where he sells for, like, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
He's just, like, sitting there.
Well, he jumped off.
He gets kicked in the face.
Randy Orton was lying on the ground, puts his foot up, and kicked him in the face, and Triple H just stands there
wobbly-legged for about 3 minutes, and then finally shakes it off, and then he collapses.
And then Shawn Michaels is over there, like, blowing, like, trying to get him to go down.
And you hear Flair like, no, champ, no.
That is what's great about wrestling. Whenever
it's a show.
Whenever you don't take it too serious and you just do it, love it.
I'm a fan. All right. Steve Mormon, just for fun, imagine that Jack Crystal was still on the call for football, and every week Jack had a celebrity on as a color commentator. How hilarious would it be for Jack and the American Dream Dusty Rhodes to be on the call for the Egg Bowl? Who would you like to hear Jack paired with? And yes, Brian, I need you to answer with the voice of the American Dream. But we'll do that in a second. Jack Crystal and Matthew McConaughey would be unbelievable.
With Texas?
Oh, yeah.
Texas and Mississippi State in 92.
And Jack, we're going to get out of here later and going to get us some barbecue. I'm going to go over to Franklin. I just go right to the front of the line and take my shirt off and they give me all the brisket. I'm like, that sounds great, Matthew. We'd love to get some brisket and some sausage later, but first it's 3rd and 10 for the Bulldogs. the 3rd down, 4th down, it's just all a state of mind, really, when you get right down to it.
It's all a flat circle.
It's all, you know, if you want to move the chains on your life is what you need to do, Jack. Something like that.
You know, Jack Crystal interviewed Elvis Presley.
Yes, he did. He did. That would be another great one there, too.
Yep.
Well, Jack, I don't know what the Bulldogs are going to do right here in the Egg Bowl. They're playing the Rebels. Looks like Jackson Dart's going to throw the football here, Jack. What do you think? I think you're right, King. And that could have been great because he could have been King, and we could have had the whole Jim Ross.
Jim Ross and King.
But anyway, what did he say? Yeah, Jack, I don't know. I don't know, Daddy. I don't know what the Rebels are going to do in this situation. 3rd and goal from the 4-yard line, if you will. Going to have to give the ball. But they're wishing they had Quinshon Judkins right about now, if you know what I'm saying there, Jack.
You know, Mississippi State was pitching some hard times under Zach Arnett.
Hey, careful. We don't talk about Dusty Rhodes and hard times. We'll get pulled.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No,
we can say whatever we want to now.
You know, what's funny is he liked to say Jack all the time. You know, Jack.
Yes.
No, I'm just talking about in general, if you will.
Not you, Jack. The other Jacks.
Not you, Jack. The other Jacks out there listening to us right now in the great United States of America. So, all right. Tony Loper. Well, we just answered that one. Are you looking forward to back to school time? I don't have to look forward to it, Tony. It's already here. Starville High School started last week.
Yeah.
They're already back, so
pretty wild. My daughter starts on Friday, but mm-hmm. I can say you know August has gotten here, so it's time for school.
Mm-hmm.
I can't picture going to school in July. Like, Starkville's schedule just baffles me. I don't understand it. But, hey, if it gets the kids out of the house quicker, more power to them.
Apparently Jeff Simmons destroyed somebody on social media or on the radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, called him a woman's part.
Wait, what?
On the air. It's on your board.
What'd he say?
Said, you do a lot of talking on social media, blank.
Oh, I bet that guy was scared crapless.
So, yeah.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Jeffrey Simmons being angry towards you?
I would not have wanted that smoke. That's not smoke I would want.
All right. So the guy doing the interview?
I'll have to listen to it at some point. But it's on it's that dang Dove Climbing, too. I hate that guy.
Who?
Dove Climbing is that Twitter guy. He's an aggregator. He's one of those guys who steals other people's content and puts it
out there. That's the guy he talked about?
No. He's just the guy who put the share in that. Yeah. So
Dove Climbing.
Yeah, you've seen his stuff.
Is he like who's the other dude that does that? The guy that played for Kentucky?
Oh, Rex Chapman.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, a little different. Like Rex Chapman just takes like lighthearted videos and is like, hey, look at this. And Dove Climbing makes it like he looks like he's a news, like an Ian Rappaport kind of guy. Like he's actually breaking news when he's not.
Oh.
So. All right, moving forward. Wade Jones, who did you enjoy watching more, Usain Bolt or Michael Phelps? Which one do you think was more dominant? It's both. Both answers for me are Bolt. I enjoyed watching Usain Bolt more than I enjoyed watching. It's hard to watch swimming.
I don't know. I loved watching Michael Phelps.
He's fun to watch, but Bolt, to me, was more.
That guy was like, I mean, they both kind of were like machines, but mm-hmm. Michael Phelps was almost like he was made in a lab.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even seem like a real person sometimes when he was swimming. He was like a fish.
Yeah.
It was like he was made to do that, you know? That was appointment television. Like, I never thought as a kid I would enjoy watching, you know, swimming, but... Yeah. I wanted to watch Michael Phelps. It was at 04 Olympics.
Was it 04 or 08?
It might have been both.
That's the middle.
The two Olympics I remember the most were 96 and 04. For some reason, those stood out the most.
So let's see here. He won.
I mean,
he won gold in 04.
04 was in Athens.
Yeah. And in 08 in Beijing.
In Beijing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved watching him, which I loved watching Usain Bolt too.
He was in the 12 Olympics too. Won a silver. He won a gold. He won gold in the 12, too.
Which is amazing.
So three Olympics. Yeah, that's crazy.
8 years. You know, I mean, he was getting up there in age at that point.
All right. Who's our next question?
Busted for smoking weed, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, marijuana. It happens. Dear Old State asked, do you think the resistance to the interlocking logo by the Mississippi State Administration boils down to A, the switch to the script was such a big deal internally that human nature makes it hard to switch again? Or B, the administration doesn't want the university to refer to as MSU. I don't think B is a thing.
I think it's A.
Look, we were all so excited about it.
Yeah.
We loved it at first, but now it's
like... And hey, like, I actually get that. I actually do get that from Zach Selman's point of view, if that's what he's doing. I don't really agree with it because I do believe it's possible, we talked about the other day, to have multiple logos and for people to recognize who you are. You and I don't really care mm-hmm. about the brand recognition thing.
Right.
Like,
I think the average Mississippi State fan doesn't care.
Yeah. Like, and what I mean, like, you say, well, you do care about brand recognition because you keep talking about these logos. It's not that. I don't care about, like, is someone going to know if this is Mississippi State or not based on this? You know, like, that don't bother me. But I think that's what it is. I think Selman is saying this is the best logo. This is the logo that we're going to go with, and I do think he wants to build around that because Mississippi State has wanted to do that. They've wanted to finally get a brand and push it. And I think he made the switch, and now he wants to push this, which, like I said, I can get. I just don't agree with it 100%. But I think that's exactly what it is. There's been so many changes with the logo.
It's got some good news there.
What?
Do you really want to know?
Is it soccer related?
It is.
No, I don't.
Okay, then.
I'm good. We got our schedule in for
I saw that,
week,
yeah.
And
all in the morning. Love it.
Yes, I do
you
love
You might
that.
See me up there.
We get one practice. On Thursday, we get to watch 20 minutes.
I'm not worried about that. I'll just be there for Lebby.
Yeah, 11:15. I'm perfectly cool with those early mornings.
Yeah. Patton Paris, you agree to go on a road trip with Big Daddy, and you get to decide to put on one of your playlists, and the following songs play. Highway to Hell, What If God Was One of Us, and what is Feline Patrol? Is he trying to say something else? Control? Not patrol. Control?
By Feline, Prince? Is Feline Control?
Wasn't it Control? It's not Feline either. Can I just say the word? This is ridiculous. It's the name of the song.
No, let's not.
All right, well.
My mom might be listening to this. And we know we have kids listening to this.
Your dad probably listens to AC/DC, doesn't he?
My dad is why I listen to AC/DC.
Yeah.
And my dad also, we also used to listen to What If God Was One of Us, too.
Yeah, so.
Now, the Prince song, I mean, my dad is a classic rock connoisseur. You know, I grew up in a house with, you know, the records were Styx, Journey. I know when classic rock was Michael Jackson, Off the Wall, like all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad loves like Steely Dan. My dad loves like just good music, but you know, he's open to hearing some new things too. The Feline Patrol, Control, whatever song. If he saw the name of it, would be a little awkward for me, but mm-hmm. it wouldn't matter. Yeah, when we were riding around in whatever car he wanted to buy at the time, because he'd bounced around from car to car and went through these little stages. Mm-hmm. We were listening to AC/DC and mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So we had the AC/DC live album from the early 90s.
Has there ever been a food challenge that you believe you could finish to get a free meal? So there's one
the
over.
Shot.
I couldn't do that because you got to eat all the toppings on the burger. I don't want to eat that.
Oh my god!
I mean, I'm just saying. Like, I don't like that stuff. There's a giant pickle. I'm not going to eat that. But what do you want from me?
The old 96er.
I don't know if I could eat. That's a lot of meat. I'm not on that plate with Fat and Gristle.
You're Fat and Gristle.
A friend of mine and I have talked about doing this. There's a place over in Atlanta. I saw it on Man vs. Food. It's called the Carnivore Challenge. It's a pizza.
Oh.
It's a massive pizza. You get a two-man team. You get to eat the pizza in an hour. And if you win, you get like $300.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So I think he and I could do it.
Well, the other day we were talking about you know, our friend at the Tennessee Cobbler Company. And
oh, yeah,
in
he's, got a, he's got a towel.
You saw a challenge that he has. It's like an entire pan of cobblers.
Yeah. I could eat that.
You think you could?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have diabetes after that, aren't you? Like,
you need to not eat any sugar for like a week.
You can't escape that without some serious repercussions.
There's going to be some damage to your body.
Yeah.
But you know what? I bet it's delicious.
It will be delicious. It'll be worth it in the moment.
Yeah. Brian, we just recently air fried fillets for dinner one night on a whim, and they were amazing. Is this blasphemy in your opinion? No,
I did that last year.
There's all sorts of ways to cook a steak. If a steak comes out the way you want to eat it, cook it that way.
I've done that. I mean, they've come up with a game plan on it. So yeah. I mean, I can get behind it. Like you said, there's no firm way to cook a steak. It's all subjective.
Right.
It's all based on your taste. Some of the best steaks I've ever had have been cooked on a skillet, in an oven, on a flat top inside or whatever. I mean, it doesn't have to be a grill. It doesn't have to be charcoal.
There's a video on YouTube by an internet chef named Josh Weissman, who I watch a lot of his videos.
Mm-hmm.
He did every way to cook a steak.
Yeah.
He cooked it in the oven. He cooked it in the pan. He cooked it in the grill, on the grill, different grills. Check it out.
Right now, I don't have a grill just because, you know, we've moved. I have too many things to buy. I just don't have time to get a grill right now. And it doesn't mean I don't love grilling, but I can cook a steak on a skillet and in an oven that tastes to me just as good as one I can cook on a grill.
I prefer to cook steaks in a pan because that way you get all the way crust.
Yep.
So that's just my thoughts. We'll do a couple more, then we'll go to the burger and steak in the pan on a skillet. Yeah, on a skillet, yeah. Jay in Baltimore, we are now the head of the Olympic Committee. You didn't get tagged in this, in case you're wondering where it is.
Yeah, you've confused people.
Well, no, he just put Robbie Faulk. He didn't put Robbie Faulk on three.
Oh, okay.
He tried to tag you. You are now the head of the Olympic Committee, and you must cut through two of these current sports from the event, breakdancing not included, because we know that should be eliminated. So we got to choose two of these to be taken care of. Equestrian, fencing, archery, skateboarding, and handball. Skateboarding for sure is out. Not a big skateboarding guy. Leave that to the X Games.
Yeah.
And then the other one to go, like, what is handball? I don't even know what that is.
Is that the thing that you, like, you're throwing it off the wall? Like, we used to play that and stuff. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, is it that or?
I think it's kind of like soccer, but you can use your hands. Okay. So, no, I'm down. That's out. At that point, just play soccer or play football, one of the two.
Right.
So, all right, that was easier. We'll do two more here. In honor of the, this is going to be more a question for you. In honor of the Neshobee County Fair, this is from Papa Crawdad.
Mm-hmm.
What is the top Midway food, game, and ride?
The top food is, for me, fried Oreos.
Okay.
Or funnel cake or something like that. I love that.
All right.
That's a good late night snack.
So you want dessert?
Yep, that's a good late night snack for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do love some Penn's.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop by Penn's over there. We stopped there last year and got some fried shrimp. And, of course, Mr. Penn brought us an entire pan of that catfish, which is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Everything there is fried. They fry green beans.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite the thing. So I do like some Penn's.
Okay.
If I'm at the fair, if I want a good meal there.
All right. What's your game?
We used to like gamble out there. There's like a game where you can put money down. Like if something lands, it's kind of like, I think it's kind of like roulette. It's like red and black. So we'd sit out there for hours. I haven't played that in a while, but we sat there for hours playing that. And top ride, I haven't ridden anything. My daughter was riding stuff the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, it was like that little spaceship thing where it like sucks you against the wall of it. I don't think that you would be...
No, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, so there's not much there that I think you would be interested in because you're not a... rides guy.
I'm not.
There's not much at the fair that you're interested in other than food.
Agreed.
You went last year.
I did. This kid who, I guess this is your nephew, that your sister put a picture of, he looks so much like you, it is crazy.
Oh, David?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay, that's Miranda's son?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like... That is like a 15-year-old.
He looks like my son.
Yeah,
much.
I mean, he does. He could be your kid, no question.
But if you put a wig on me, I look like my sister. Like if I shaved my beard and put a wig on me, huh?
Let's not go there.
You've called me handsome before.
You are a handsome man, but you know I don't want to go there.
You don't want to see me in that light.
I don't know. No, we get arrested for stuff like that these days.
For dressing up like a woman?
Yeah, it's bad news. Apparently,
you get arrested for that.
They're trying to make that happen.
Oh.
Yeah.
I figured in 2024, you could do whatever you want.
Who had the better career, Canadian edition, Chris Jericho, Edge, or Bret Hart? Three, really, that's tough.
I feel like it's Chris Jericho.
I feel like it's Jericho.
And that's crazy to say with Bret Hart
in
there. I think
Jericho and Edge would both tell you Bret Hart, though. But
he was so influential.
Yeah, it's Jericho, though.
I mean, it's got to be. Bret Hart's limelight lasted for 5 years,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
When he left WWF, his career was pretty much over.
Yeah, it went down. Yeah.
Chris Jericho has been around now for 30, almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Over 30 years.
Over 30 years, yeah.
I mean, he was wrestling Lucha Libre in the early 90s.
Yeah. It's Jericho. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. We were just talking about steaks and burgers and how you want to cook them. Doesn't matter how you cook them. Just eat them. You're going to be having a great time if you do. Look, if you don't feel like cooking, there are so many great burger restaurants and steakhouses in the state. You can't go more than a couple miles without coming across one. I'm going to go eat my favorite burger in the world next week. I'll be down in Hattiesburg.
Ooh, Ed's Burgers.
And Luke Johnson owes me a burger.
What are you going to Hattiesburg for?
Oh, we have a remote.
Oh, okay.
So, looking forward to it. We'll get to talk to Coach Hall. I love talking to Coach Hall. I'm just an old school football guy, and so is he. So, we get along real good. So I'm going to enjoy my favorite burger this week, next week. You should do the same. Make it a point. Oh, we're going to Bulldog Burger on Sunday as well, too. So that'll be great. Yep. That'll be great.
We're going to the older brother Wednesday, are we not?
Yeah, today, as you're listening, we're going to the, I could get a burger there if I want.
I might get a burger there because that burger is fantastic.
You see what we're trying to tell you? There's a lot of
just
great options.
Get a burger.
Just get a burger. Beef, that's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food. Or, as Robbie just said, you can find us at the Older Brother today. We're going to go grab some lunch there with a friend of ours and talk a little business with him, and it's going to be great. We got something to talk about for the fall. You guys, I think, will enjoy. And, of course, both of those restaurants are fantastic. Two Brothers, great smoked meats. Not just barbecue. It's so different than just, you know, you think about a barbecue restaurant, and you're like, okay, I'll get some pulled pork, maybe some ribs. That's not what it is at Two Brothers. It's different, but it's different in a good way. And the Older Brother, there is no place like that in Starkville. Nowhere else you can grab a fancy sandwich other than the Older Brother. Both places are fantastic. Check them out in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it now for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers. 49 years of taking care of you. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. And then if you need anything taken care of after that, it's just a phone call away. It's not a 1-800 number. It's not a technician who's going to be out there in a week, 10 days. It's a lot of times it's the same day because they're in Mississippi just like you are. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems, I got way off the tracks there, help your business do business. Before you're at the games this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co. We keep saying it, guys. If you want the interlocking to be a thing, the best way to do it is with your wallet. So head to Maroon & Co. today and pick up some of their great interlocking MSU gear. They've got an incredible selection of it, and we can save you a little money. Thunder15 is the code. You can use it online or in the store, and that's 15% off regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the games this fall, before you're at Davis Wade Stadium, make sure you're at Maroon & Co. I've got to sneeze. Oh, gosh.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. Broken Fairchild asks us, what's the funniest bumper sticker you've ever seen? Nothing really stands out to me, I've got to be honest with you.
I know I love the, I don't know if it's a bumper sticker, but
Deuce
the,
for Heisman?
Yeah.
Doesn't make me laugh.
I love the windshield wiper when it's got the Macho Man on it. Doing
that's
the
great.
Elbow drop.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's not really a bumper sticker,
yeah,
but I know.
Yeah,
but
it's the same thing. That's a good one. Who would be in contention to be on your Mount Rushmore of favorite Olympians in your lifetime that weren't professional athletes beforehand? Phelps, Bolt, Carl Lewis, Mary Lou Retton.
Okay.
That's where I'm going.
They weren't professional athletes beforehand.
Right, so it's not like LeBron or Magic
All they
Johnson.
Did was Olympics.
Like, yeah, they, yeah.
Okay.
That's what they're famous for. Like, you can't say LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say Magic Johnson or Kobe or something like that. So, right. Yeah, that's my four.
They're
famous
they were
for being
famous
Olympians.
Athletes right. That became Olympians.
They're
the
famous
you're
for being
about.
Olympians, yeah. Not famous people who became Olympians.
Yes.
So, Carl Lewis, Usain Bolt, Michael Phelps, Mary Lou Retton.
Yes.
All right. There we go. Kevin Wright, I'm taking the family to Ohio to see Chelsea take on Man City. Super excited for the trip, but a little bummed. Most of the big names didn't make the trip to the U.S. It's true. Rank these games in order of importance. Preseason EPL, preseason NFL, spring college football. Well, spring college football is just scrimmages. I mean, it's not even a game. Like, you're just playing against your own team. So that's easily the least important. Preseason NFL... Week 3 of the preseason, when they actually play the starters,
yeah, when it's,
is meaningful.
When you start getting into, like, you're getting closer to the season,
yeah.
Every single week you're adding more and more
and
reps.
Those games, they mean something to the guys trying to make the squad.
Yeah.
So those are important. Preseason EPL, I mean, you're playing a lot of your starters the first half, and then they sit the same. It's meaningless. Unless somebody gets hurt, like they did last year, and then
I wouldn't know about that.
I would. Rob Montgomery, as you've mentioned, objectively what Ole Miss does affects Mississippi State and vice versa. With that in mind, which option is more beneficial to the big picture program for state? MSU wins 6 games, but Ole Miss makes the playoff. MSU wins 5 games, but Ole Miss misses the playoff. I know
this is number 2.
It's more beneficial for state for Ole Miss to
miss
the
playoff. You don't want Ole Miss to be able to say they made the playoff.
Yeah, exactly correct. Yeah. I mean, there's a not a huge difference between not making a bowl and going to like the Birmingham Bowl. But Ole Miss, with all the chips they've pushed into the table, yeah. And I know that you can sit there and say, "Oh, I'm just obsessed." So be it. And Ole Miss has pushed all of their chips in to go to the playoff this year. If they don't do it, that is a huge problem. It's the kind of problem that Kiffin might look at and go, "I can't get it. I can't get there here."
And if State wins five games, it could be like 09.
Yeah, exactly.
Your schedule was so difficult that
exactly.
you couldn't get the sixth win, but you're still showing positive signs.
Exactly.
I mean, I think a lot of people would sign up for that. And bowl games just don't really mean that much anymore.
Yeah, it's fun, but that's about it.
And they're only going to be more diminished now that you have more playoff teams.
Yeah. Cameron Worm.
Big Worm.
Brian, my wife and I recently adopted a kitten. Do you have any advice for us as an experienced cat owner? Yeah, put some covers on the sides of your couches.
They will scratch
the
crap out of your furniture.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you put stuff up for them to scratch, they will also scratch your furniture.
Yeah.
And also, don't leave a glass of water just laying around.
They will knock it over.
They will knock
because.
It over just because, yes.
Yep.
What is, in your opinion, the best defensive scheme? Jolie Dunn's when he has Robert Bean and Fred Smoot. Yeah.
The one with the best players in it.
Exactly.
That I don't. It's what
you should be aggressive. You should never be a reactive defense.
Coleman Hutzler said it best. Like, you cannot play the same defense every play, every possession anymore. You've got to be able to play different things, have different, you know, schemes involved in it. And I think that was a good point that he made, is like they've got to be able to do a lot of different things. And the best defenses, like I said, are the ones with the best players in it.
Mm-hmm.
You get a bunch of good players in it, they'll make a scheme look pretty darn good. There's ways to scheme up certain things, but at the end of the day, it's all about the players on that side of the ball, in my opinion, and those guys going out there making plays and putting them in position to make those plays too.
Dalton Lee.
Uh-oh.
I want you to listen to. I've read this last. I want you to really listen to this.
Okay.
This past weekend, we participated in a joint bachelorette trip in Johnson City, and it was a great time. There were some interesting things we did from the general population, such as one person choosing to karaoke System of a Down, Rage Against the Machine, and Smashing Pumpkins back-to-back-to-back at a mostly country bar. A couple slow dancing to Freebird, 10-minute version, Voodoo Child, and other non-slow rock songs. What were some PG interesting things you have seen on a bachelor trip? Buddy, I don't have any PG things I've seen on a bachelor trip. My bachelor parties I've been to are all about drinking and strip clubs. What are we talking about here?
Well,
I would never, under any circumstances, go on a joint bachelor-bachelorette party.
Yeah, that...
No!
That's got to be a first.
I've never heard of such and want to never hear of such again. Dalton, this is no. This is a no for me.
That is definitely a first.
You want to do a couples weekend?
That's
fine. But don't you dare call it a bachelor party.
Don't call it a bachelor joint bachelor-bachelorette party.
No, absolutely not. Gross.
I saw plenty of bachelorette parties in Nashville the other day. Those are running
Have a
rampant.
Weekend to yourself before you go jump off the thing there.
The bridge?
Yeah. The Ford Polk. After our dismantling of LSU at night in Davis Wade Stadium, we've played three straight 11 a.m. home games against them. Begs the question, is the SEC or LSU scared of playing at night in Starkville? That's a good point.
Scared.
Prior to that, the previous four games in Starkville were all at night.
Night.
11, 13, 15, and 17 were all at night.
Yeah, 09 was at 11.
Yeah, it was an early game, yeah.
I think it just happens to fall that way.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. What's the G5 school that surprised you in your dynasty so far? UTSA is mine. They beat Ohio State in the college football playoff and are 5-0, ranked number 5 in the season so far. I haven't seen where they are this year, but the first year of the playoff, Old Dominion was the group of five team.
Old Dominion and James Madison
mm-hmm.
both seem to have very good athletic departments.
And that, so like the first playoff in my dynasty, there were two group of five teams because Boise State was just ranked high enough to get in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go buy into the boy.
You need to do it.
I've been stuck on these cinematic games or whatever. I think I'm going to go buy into the boy today and see what happens.
John Burnett says, are the same people who have said for the past 30 years that State can't host premier music acts and concerts on campus are the same ones that said State can't do what they want with logos? If so, why are they the way they are? Well, John, that's a question for a long, long discussion.
But yes, those are the same people.
Yeah.
And if you question these things, they ask how much money you've given to the university and that tell you to be quiet, stop complaining, things like that.
Yeah.
Those people, as I said today, those people are the problem. Those people that are just content with things being the way that they are,
mm-hmm.
and not doing more at Mississippi State, that mm-hmm. is, that's a problem. You can say till you're blue in the face how much you love Mississippi State, but you're not getting the most out of this place that you love.
Yeah. Sheldon Nations, do you consider Mississippi to be a food desert? Before you say no, Robert St. John has a nonprofit dedicated to it. I mean, Robert St. John's, it's on a mission to end hunger in Mississippi. There is definitely hunger in Mississippi. There are definitely kids who go hungry every day in this state. There's no question about that.
Well, like,
I mean, it's not Ethiopia, like, but,
well, I think in this regard, I think a lot of that means you don't have a lot of options as far as healthy foods. Like they're limited here.
Yeah. There's just kids who go hungry in this state.
That's true. But I think that's the case too. Is like a lot of what we eat is not healthy.
Yeah, that's true.
Processed foods. We're not eating enough. I don't want to go on a rant about it, but we're not eating enough.
What are you trying to say about me? Huh? This about me?
Well, you like taking a lot of the stuff off the burger that might actually be a little more healthy. So.
Yes, because if you put the lettuce on the burger, the burger's healthy.
No, it's not healthy, but it's healthier than it would be than just meat and cheese.
I guess. It's all the same.
Is it?
It's fewer calories if you take the lettuce off.
But I do think that we've gotten to the point now, like, and I'm very much part of it. Like, you know, when we eat stuff at games, more often than not, we're eating chicken tenders, mm-hmm. hamburgers, mm-hmm. which, hey, we love Mississippi Beef Council.
Yes.
Yeah. I love hamburgers, but French fries, like, we're not eating a lot of green beans and salad and, you know, stuff that we can get from the
barbecue place. I got green beans.
Yeah.
They were good. They're good.
Yeah.
I try to eat a vegetable every night.
Nowadays. They probably put a lot of, like, cooking oil on
that. Yeah, well, they probably cook it in bacon, too.
Yeah.
So, I try to eat a vegetable with dinner every night.
But I do feel that way. Like, I feel like this. And who knows what the repercussions are going to be for this down the line.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we've gotten...
You get to look like me.
Not just as, like, a society of the people that consume it, the people that are making it. We've gotten to the point where we're just... This stuff we can produce in a mass amount is, you know, it's a lot easier to do that.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier for us to just go pick up, you know, some fried chicken somewhere.
Some what?
Like Popeyes.
Some what?
Fried chicken.
Okay. The Allegheny Boys Tennis Program.
And while we're on that topic, cereal and stuff like that is just terrible for you.
It's bad for you, yeah. Is it more likely that State wins 4 games this season or 7?
That's a
tough question. I feel like it's more like... Because I feel like State's going to win their non-conference in Arkansas for sure.
It feels like they're going to win 5. I don't think it's going to be that easy, but it just... I feel like I can just about pencil in 5 wins.
I would favor them in the
4
non-conference, and I would favor them against Arkansas. Yeah. And then Florida, I'll have to see.
It's really hard for me to imagine them not winning one SEC game.
So I would say it's 7, but it's a very small difference.
Yeah.
Also, what is one of the most awkward moments you've had while covering MSU sports? I'm not even going to answer. I'm sure my cousin Steven is listening. Steven, if you'll just put the video up, and I know you know what I'm talking about. For you, it's got to be Schaefer, right?
No, that wasn't that awkward.
Really?
Yeah.
It was funny.
No, I enjoyed.
I'll tell you what.
I enjoyed stuff like that.
I got another one. I'm going to call this person out. They don't work for the MSU media anymore. If they get mad, they can just get mad. But last year when Sammy asked Will Rogers if he was proud that State had scored more points on Alabama than Ole Miss had, that was one of the most awkward things I've ever been a part of. Just like, what was that question?
I don't know. It's like...
You just get mad. That was a really bad question.
I guess mine would be like just situations like whenever, like earlier this year, like Chris Simonis just completely missing the question I asked, and like he responded in a way like he was waiting to go off and just completely like missed the question, like that kind
Arnett
of stuff.
Dropping the F-bomb in the press conference.
Yeah, that was awkward. Yeah. That was really awkward.
Oh.
One time, Dan got mad. I think it was Mike Bonner. I think it was right after the Josh Robinson thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And Bonner, like, saw his Snapchat and reported about his Snapchat or whatever. Mm-hmm. Josh had gotten kicked off campus or whatever. And Dan, like, pretty much going off on like indirectly going off on Bonner, like giving that rant. That was like super awkward.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then right after that, I was like, yeah, now I'm going to let you guys watch practice. That's how nice a guy I am.
Yeah, like, I remember that, yeah.
Okay, that was weird.
It was weird. Andy Atkinson, the enforcer, AA. I saw a clip from the Split Zone Duo podcast where someone said State was back. Don't say someone. Stephen Godfrey said this. Said State was back because Lebby is petty and this fan base is petty. Said State is at our best when we're at our pettiest. Are we petty? I mean, we're talking. We know why Stephen Godfrey is saying that.
You can always tell who the Ole Miss people are. They do not hide. They try to.
We're not petty.
But it comes out.
I know.
Ole Miss is petty, too. Yeah. I mean, that's rivalries are petty.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't think it's, you know, Mississippi State's at their best because they're when they're petty. I don't think that's that's the case at all. But, yeah, I watched some of that. There's a lot of, like, sneaky shots in there and stuff.
I know. Also, from Andy, since I'm the only one who's played college football 25, what is the result you saw in dynasty mode for another team that surprised me? For mine, Texas was apparently not SEC ready. The first year in the SEC, so I made the SEC championship game.
The Ole Miss one's going to be yours, I bet.
They went 7-5 the first year, and 6-6
the
second
year.
Well, in there, Dart got hurt.
Oh, okay.
Because when I got to the Egg Bowl, Austin Simmons was starting.
Other people have said that too. That they went. Like,
I think Dart just gets hurt.
Does he just get hurt?
I think. And then the next year in the Egg Bowl, I played the second Egg Bowl. Simmons started, and I was beating him up so bad. He didn't get hurt. They pulled him for Anthony Maddox, AJ Maddox. I was like, who is that guy? He's got dreads. I looked. I was like, oh my god, it's Anthony Maddox. Oh my gosh. But the SEC that year, I played South Carolina in the SEC championship game.
That's so weird.
Like, I was 12-0. The next SEC team was Oklahoma at 9-3, but South Carolina went 6-2 in the conference, and they were 8-4. And Oklahoma was 5-3 in the conference. So it was me versus South Carolina.
Do you play all your games? Or do you simulate?
Once I get up enough, I'll super sim.
I used to simulate the games against teams with losing records.
Yeah.
If my team was good enough, I knew I wasn't going to screw up in it.
The only game I play start to finish is the Egg Bowl.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to
get 100 points in it.
I blitzed every play in the last Egg Bowl. Every play. I got 12 sacks.
Oh,
I got 13
night.
Sacks. Yeah.
I don't want to gain another inch.
You know, in the Heisman in season two? Hey. Trevion Williams.
Yes.
Yeah, like 20 sacks.
Just Lord.
Yeah. Rob Hadaway, who he didn't take, he put you as Robbie Falk 24/7. You don't work
for that
website.
Rob.
Come on, Rob. Is the phrase hot water heater actually redundant if one of its functions is to keep hot water hot? Yes.
Yes, it is.
Because water heater implies that it's hot.
And I am one of the worst
at doing it.
I do it all the time.
Do you say pen number?
Do I say what?
Pen number.
What's
your pen number?
Yeah, I think I do.
That's redundant.
But every time I say hot water heater now...
You get mad at yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. What about ATM machine?
No, I think I just say ATM.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
There's hope for you.
What about... What's your stance on RBI?
The plural of RBI is RBI. It's runs batted in, not runs batted ins.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's no RBI. S on the end. There is no such thing as he had 2 home runs and 4 RBIs.
Yes.
He had 2 home runs and 4 RBI.
Yeah, that's
he had
how
4
I'm
runs batted in.
It all you know, takes care of itself in the word, in the 100%. Acronym or whatever.
Brian, this is from Kenny Manning. He just tagged me.
What is going on?
This question is just for me, though. My son played football at Greenville St. Joe. What are a few favorite memories of playing them, and do you recall any outstanding Irish players? I only beat them once, and that was my senior year. I'll give you a couple stories. First of all, the players I remember, they ran the run and shoot. Like in 1991, they ran the run and shoot, and they were really good at it. And they had a quarterback named Roger Reed, who ended up signing with Ole Miss out of high school. I don't think anything came of him, but he didn't play at Ole Miss. But my junior year, like the first year we played them, we actually had a really good – they were averaging like 40 points a game, and we held them to 21, but we could not score on them. They were ranked like third or fourth in the state in the Little 10.
Hmm.
We lose to my – I don't remember the game my sophomore year at all, but whatever. My junior year, we go up there, and we during the week, coach had been like, look, every year we play this team, and I watch the film and everybody who plays them, just dropping guys in the coverage, and Roger Reed just picks them apart. We're going to do it differently. We're going to play man coverage on everybody, and we're going to rush 7 every play, and we're going to get them on the ground. Roger Reed was the Clarion Ledger State Player of the Week after he played St.
Didn't work very well.
I think he was like 27 of 30 for 300 some odd yards and 5 touchdowns.
Y'all did the Bo Pelini, like, we're just going to do this, yeah. And if we lose,
yeah.
We lose.
Yeah, that's basically what we did. That's also the game I got the hardest hit of my life. I did not play punt coverage because I had no speed, and the guy who was supposed to replace me didn't come in. So I'm sort of tracking the ball. I'm sort of following everybody else, not really paying attention, and I got blindsided. And that dude, I don't know who he is to this day.
But he can't do a lot of that anymore.
He lit me up. It was rough.
We used to have the crackback plays.
Oh yeah,
dude just like floating, and you have a guy just come across and just ear holing. Yeah,
and those are good times.
It was super dangerous. But
then my senior year, the thing I remember was we're playing at home and we're doing calisthenics before the game. We're stretching, and Greenville finishes their stretching, and they start huddling up on the field, and they're jumping up and down, and they start chanting our starting tailback's name.
Oh.
And they're just like, Jamal, Jamal, Jamal. And he was standing next to me, and he just goes, oh. I think he rushed for like 150 yards and a couple scores. We beat the hell out of him. Players I remember, they had a three-headed monster, running back, quarterback, and receiver when I was a freshman. Roger Reed was the quarterback. Thomas Grigsby was the tailback. He was really, really good. And Rod Straw was the name of the receiver. Could not. He was like Jerry Rice. Could not cover him out there. It was incredible.
Nice.
Best player I saw. It's playing 1A ball. You don't see a ton of guys. I saw Achille King, who ended up playing a few years for St. Andrews. They played at the military academy. Played for Army. And then the fastest guy I ever saw in my life was a guy named Turbo Singleton. He was Tobias's uncle.
Of course, his name's Turbo.
His name was Turbo, and that dude could run. He played. That's back when it was East Flora, and yeah, good player, good player. I think we need to wrap it up anyway because we're getting close to the time.
It's been a long one so far.
Well, not only that, but my actual show starts. Kyle Wilson, what's your ideal Southern breakfast? We've done this one before, I think, but to me, a Southern breakfast, there's not a lot of sweet. Like, I wouldn't put, like, if you might have some jelly on your biscuits, but I wouldn't say, like, French toast or pancakes is a Southern breakfast.
No.
Like, bacon and sausage, grits, hash browns, scrambled eggs, and biscuits.
That pretty much covers mine.
That's a Southern
breakfast. The sweetness would come from the jelly and biscuit.
Exactly.
I'm going to do that on Friday whenever I'm going back to my breakfast spot that I'd used during the year, Cody Earl's in Akron, Mississippi. One of the best breakfast spots around if you're ever in Ackerman, or even if you're in Starkville or Lewisville or somewhere, drive down. You got to go.
Yeah.
I get the two eggs breakfast, scrambled eggs, bacon or sausage, just whatever I'm feeling, grits, and biscuit. And it is so good.
Yeah.
That is definitely my Southern breakfast go-to is eggs, meat, biscuit, grits.
Two more here. Chris Williams. After listening to today's pod, I'm confused about the recruiting media industrial complex. Unless NCAA rules have changed, school officials aren't supposed to share recruiting info with media, publicize names of recruits who visits, or make recruits available to the media. If them still the rules, why aren't other schools being held accountable when they rank them? How do you guys learn which recruits schedule visit and actually visit campus? Which is more likely, Chris, that every other school is breaking the rules and Mississippi State is the one holding firm? Or that state is not doing what other schools are allowed to do. What is more likely?
Also, this has been a practice since the beginning of sports.
Who do you think we get information from?
Have sources and stuff. And do you think the NCAA is monitoring every single thing, conversation a coach is having with someone?
And on top of
you don't get put on NCAA probation from a coach going to have a conversation one-on-one with somebody about a recruit.
And then it's not like I'm coming on here and going, I talked to Coach Jones and he said Caleb Cunningham's going to be here this weekend.
Yeah.
It would be me saying, I've been told, sources have told me Caleb Cunningham.
I thought was like understood. And maybe this is a...
And the other thing...
This guy, I've dealt with this guy before and he has these like tongue-in-cheek conversations. And I don't know if he's being sarcastic or really doesn't know.
Make recruits available to the media. We're not asking to be made available. We're not saying that we got to come up there and they let us. What Robbie was saying yesterday is he and Paul Jones were going to the hotel where the recruits were staying, and as they're checking out,
The visit's over.
When the visit is over, they are speaking to them there. This isn't MSU providing the recruits for us to talk to.
Yeah, let me explain.
Robbie doing his own legwork and getting out there and finding these guys.
Yeah, let me explain how this works. And this happens at a ton of schools. Ole Miss does it. Mm-hmm. Auburn does it. Florida State does it. this happens everywhere. When you cannot talk to a student athlete, well, recruit, I don't know if they're considered student athletes at that point, but when they're on their visit, you are not supposed to talk to those players, whether that be in a formal interview or even, you know, checking in on them. Like, you're supposed to
let them be.
Let them be.
Yeah.
When they leave campus, when their visit is over, you're permitted to talk to them. And Paul basically covers football recruiting on his own. I help out when I can. Mm-hmm. And so whenever there's 20 visitors on campus, he needs my help. He can't write 20 visit stories. So I come up there, and the best thing for him to do, instead of chasing these people down on the phone, the easiest thing to do is get them when they're done with their visit. They come back to the hotel. Mm-hmm. They pack all their bags. They're getting ready to leave. And it's not like we're hounding them or anything. We sit in the hotel lobby. When they see us, they come over. We say, hey, whenever you get done, can we
talk
to
you? And a lot of these people you have relationships anyway, because you've been talking to them throughout the recruiting process.
And I promise, if people saw us, like how away from everything we are, mm-hmm. and everything, it would just a non-issue. Yeah. But this happens everywhere. This happens at all the big schools that cover recruiting. Mm-hmm. They get these kids when they get off campus, and some of them stand outside the facilities. Yeah. We're nice enough to get off campus, mm-hmm. and we don't bother any of the coaches. The visit's done. They don't talk to the coaches anymore. Mm-hmm. So all we're doing is talking to the players, getting those interviews, and we'll put information on the board, and then we'll go home and write them. It's just an easier way to get them. It's no different to me. Actually, yeah, I think it's better to have that relationship with the player.
That the school aren't supposed to share. This is what reporting is yes. We talk to the coaches off the record.
What do you think they do in the NFL? They're talking to GMs, coaches, scouts. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
But back to my point about the hotel thing, like, you don't have jurisdiction over us when they're off campus and the visit's over. The idea that you can call somebody and say, don't do this, you don't have any control over that. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, you're more worried about us trying to promote the visits that you put on than, you know, handling your own business.
Yeah.
Like, and you trying to control
that. Do your job, and I'll do my job.
Right. And I've never in my life answered to these people.
Yeah.
So why do you think all of a sudden you can call Paul Jones or me and say, this is how you need to be doing your job? Yeah. You don't pay my bills.
Exactly. Last one, a little happier question. Not really. Okay.
That's going to be the last time for a while, I think, I talk about that unless someone else brings it up.
Well, I'm sure it'll be next week on the Rumblings. But Brad Baxter, it's not really a happier question. This is one of my huge pet peeves. Can you explain the mindset of people whose seats are in the back of the airplane but try to be the first ones off the plane as soon as it parks? I have been known to turn around and say to somebody, like, first time on a plane?
Yeah.
Like, you sit there and wait. If you're in the back of the plane, you go last. It's a line. Row one goes, row two goes, row three goes. That's how we go.
I will sit right here until it's my turn to get up, mm-hmm. and then I will get my luggage, and I'm still going to be in front of you.
Yeah, it's like,
so what's the point?
Someone like, am I a jerk? No. Oh, so that's you? Because, like, why is your time so much more valuable than mine? It's not.
Yeah.
Jerk. Yeah, Brad, that's a big nerve for me. Just had it last week with the media days trip. As soon as we got to Jackson, somebody like jumped to the front of the, like, five rows behind me. I was like, what's wrong with you?
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I can understand it if you're like, I gotta stand up. I've been sitting the whole time.
Yeah, we all have.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about like a person in general. Like,
I guess.
They have been sitting, their back hurts, they need to stand up.
Yeah.
But they're trying to get out first, and like, you're not.
There's a system.
That's right.
All right, tomorrow's show, we'll talk about what we learned from the coaches when we talked to them earlier today at Mississippi State. Some interesting stuff. Maybe have some of that audio as well. Plus, we have our Texas opponent preview. I talked to Joe Cook of Inside Texas. Get a little bit more thoughts on the Longhorn. Apparently, nobody likes our predictions on them, but they'll just have to get over that.
I don't like the prediction either, but
it is what it is.
I can't find losses on their schedule.
Exactly. So, all right, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Try to strip and spin it, yeah.
Talk Mississippi Media Production.